Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. And happy Easter. He has risen. He is risen indeed. My name is Brent Russett, and I'm the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church, and it is my pleasure to share Easter Sunday morning with you. I want to especially welcome those of you who are on your way to Parliament Hill to join the Church of Ottawa in an Easter Sunday sunrise service. This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, and it's Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO, or you can find us on the web, goodnewsinthemorning.ca. I would encourage you to check us out our website, and you'll find a number of things there to build into your spiritual life. Easter is such a great time to worship, and so we are going to start out with hearing from Eden's Bridge, He is Exalted.
Thank you.
I love to read, and I love to dabble in writing. Sometimes I find it easy to write, and other times I find it challenging. But here's what I've come to understand. Every day, all of us write the story of our lives. Some of us are better writers than others. The choices we make, the things we do, the people we meet dictate the storylines. Often there are a number of subplots going on. What is happening with our extended family? What is happening in our work? What is happening amongst our friends? Then there's the main storyline. What is happening in and around us? You may not have thought of your life like this before, but you are an author, the author of life. However, unlike an author of fiction, you don't have complete control over the story. You can influence it and direct it by the choices you make, but others are also writing into your story. Your boss writes into your story. The person who ran the red light and caused a fender bender writes into your story. Your mom and dad write into your story, sometimes for better, sometimes for worse. Your children write into your story. There's another story being written. It's the story of God. History is his story. But there's a lot more going on than has been written in the annals of history. He has been writing his story into the fabric of the universe from the beginning of time. His story is a big story, big enough to encompass everyone. He has much more control over his story than we have over ours. But not complete control, because he has given you the ability to make choices in your story. Those are real choices. He really wants to do what he really wants to do through us is to have his story and your story intersect in a meaningful way. I don't know about you, but the story of my life has stuff in it that, well, I just wish weren't elements of the story. There are some choices I made in the past that I would like to have to do over again. There were some things that other people did to me that skewed the story somewhat. And as a pastor, I spent a lot of time listening to people's stories, and here's what I've discovered. People's lives are messy. You live with fear and with hope, with difficulties, with challenges. What do you do with those parts of your story? Do you just go on, ignore them, work with them? I have found that it is those very points in the story where God comes and invites us to write our story into his. They become crucial moments in the story where we respond to the invitation of God, and that can pivot the whole story. Now, in many of those places in our lives, we would like to God to intersect in our lives with answered prayer. God, get me out of this place. God, fix a problem. We would like him to drop in and do a miracle so that we could get on with life the way it was. And sometimes he does that. But he just doesn't want our story to bump into each other. He wants them to intersect, and he wants to weave our stories together. Our story will become a small, consistent part of his big story. But the only place where your story can truly start to intersect with God is by the story of Easter weekend. To truly be involved in the big story of God, our stories have to come through Easter. Just a few days back, we celebrated Good Friday. You remember what happened on Good Friday. Jesus was crucified, killed that day. He hung on a cross between two thieves. His death shook up his disciples. After all, they had followed him for the last 3 years. When Jesus was being abandoned by the crowds, he asked his disciples if he was going to leave him too. Peter spoke up and answered for all the disciples, "Where else would we go? Only you have the words of eternal life." They had not only come to follow him, but they had come to believe in him. All their hopes and dreams were wrapped up in Christ. Those dreams came to a screeching halt with his death. That isn't supposed to be the way it ends. That isn't supposed to be the way it happens. Now come with me to the story of Easter Sunday morning. I'm looking at the story in John chapter 20. It was Sunday, the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, and she found the tomb was empty. This was unexpected. When you go to somebody's grave, you expect to find the person who was buried there still there. So Mary comes roaring back to the disciples, and Peter and John took off to the tomb. They get there, and they find what they had been told is true. And I like verse 8. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. He believed what? He believed that the body was gone. The next verse basically says that they still didn't understand that Jesus had to rise from the dead. The unexpected is one thing. But now that Peter and John had seen it, they were left scratching their heads. It has now moved from the unexpected to the unexplained. What do you do with the whole idea that a body is missing? Verse 10, the disciples went back to their homes. When you hit the unexpected and then it moves to the unexplained, you need to regroup. So they went home. Mary hung around the grave, and then she runs into two angels. But she's crying so hard, she doesn't care that she's seen angels. She only has one thing in mind. Where is the body of Jesus? She's come to anoint him with oil. And she said, I am going to anoint him with oil. I don't care if you're an angel or a king. I am going to anoint Jesus. She's peering into the grave, and then she hears this voice behind her. Verse 15. Woman, he said, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Now she just freaks. This is just too good to be true. She talks with Jesus, and then he sends her off. So after she leaves, Jesus goes back. After she leaves Jesus, she goes back to the disciples. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. Now, what was the disciples' take on this? Well, Thomas gets labeled as the one having no faith. He doesn't believe when the rest of the disciples tell him that they have seen Jesus. But the rest of the disciples didn't believe Mary when she told them that she had seen Jesus. After all, dead is dead. They had seen him die. They knew that no one escapes crucifixion. They knew that after he was dead, that a spear was driven in his side just to make sure. Dead is dead. Now it's gone from the unexpected to the unexplainable to the just plain unbelievable. It just doesn't make sense. Verse 19, on the evening of that day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. He had to show them his hands and his side before they would believe him. But when they showed them undeniable proof that he was risen from the dead, when he showed him or them his nail-pierced hands and the spear-pierced side, they believed, and they were overjoyed. It went from the unexpected and then the unexplainable to the unbelievable and now to the undeniable. Christ indeed had risen from the dead. The disciples believed it so much that each of them died for their belief. It caused them to commit their lives to Christ. I want you to reflect on that as we listen to Matt Redman sing, I Am Yours.
God of restoration, my hope is in the life you bring to me. Healer of my wounds, I thank you, oh I thank you. God of my salvation, with saving love you came to rescue me. Healer of my soul, I thank you. Broken heart to sing again. Every day I'll come to thank you, oh, to thank you. A singing of a life now. You taught this wounded soul to live again. Every day I'll come.
every day I live. To thank you, oh, to thank you. Today and every day. I am yours, every breath that I breathe, every moment that's lived. I'm yours, you're the reason to live, you're the reason to breathe. And now, everyone that you have saved will come to be your praise. I am yours, and if my first is to do your will, then I'm hungry, still hungry. There's so much more that I need to get. So thank you, so thank you. Yes, if my food is to do your will, oh Lord, and I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm still hungry. There's so much more that I need to get. Today and every day, I'm yours, every breath that I breathe, every moment that's left, I am yours, 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 I'm yours, you're the reason to live, you're the reason to breathe.
As I hear people writing the story of their lives, oftentimes their story mirrors Easter. Elements of all our stories are not what we wish them to be. But it's often in these troublesome times that we feel the story needs to move in a different direction. It might be a sense of meaninglessness and spinning our wheels. It might be a sense of insecurity or fear. It might be a sense that there's something bigger than ourselves. It may be our lives spinning out of control. But something happens to bring us to the place where we know the story that we are writing by our lives has moved into a different direction, and it needs to head in a different direction than it's heading right now. You know the great thing about God? He's already at work. He isn't just working in the lives of super saints. He's not just at work in the lives of Christians. He is at work in people's lives who don't even think he exists. He's at work in people who take no thought of him. Some of you know it and some of you don't, but God is actively involved in your life. He's been trying to write in a way to get your story to intersect with his. Do you want to see the fingerprints of God in your life? Start looking for the unexpected. Someone who you thought most unlikely starts talking about God. Things start to happen that in and of themselves could be ruled as a coincidence, but all of a sudden those coincidences start to accumulate. You go to a movie, and it's like God talking to you. The unexpected happens. The equivalent of hearing stories of the empty tomb happens. God is trying to get your attention. But things move from the unexpected to the unexplained. These things just don't seem to have a good explanation to them. After all, if you haven't given God much thought, and all of a sudden he's trying to get your attention, it's pretty easy to write him off. If you start with the premise that God is either non-existent or far off, and that he doesn't come near, then when he does come near, it's just unexplainable. But even in the middle of this mystery comes a report from God that it's God's desire to bring you close and to bring you into relationship with himself. Maybe you even start to grasp a hold of the good news that we find in Jesus Christ, that he is a bridge between God and us. He made a way that we can know God. The problem is if you really grasp the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's unbelievable. The God of the universe knows me by name. And more than that, he loves me. And more than that, he wants a relationship with me. And more than that, he has cleared out all the obstacles between him and me, that the work of the Son, Jesus, and all that I have to do is to receive the free gift of God that is offered in Christ. That's mind-blowing. It's unbelievable. Things have moved from the unexpected to the unexplained to the unbelievable. And here's where we need to make a decision. Are we going to keep moving towards God? Or are we going to just disperse and just leave things where they are? See, Peter had a family. He could have been with his wife rather than hanging around the disciples. John and Andrew had a fishing business with their father. They could have immersed themselves in the father's business, but they hung out to see what would happen. There are some of you who have been confronted by the unbelievable, and you're thinking you might just move on. After all, if you let your story intersect with God's, then you won't have the same literary freedom. You'll be writing your story, but it will need to be consistent with another story. But if you think God is a difficult co-author, you should try sin. It's brutal to write your storyline with sin as your co-author. For a number of you, you are right at the unbelievable stage. The other option is to stay there and actively wait on God to break through. And there will be times when God will break through. It may even be after you take a leap of faith, but there will be a time when God walks into the room of your heart, and it's undeniable. The question is, will you put yourself in a place to encounter God? Will you invite him into your life and invite him to write your story with you? If you want to do that, you need to pray a simple prayer like, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I give my life to you. I want to follow you. There are a number of you who have had your story intersect with God's story through the Easter story. You've understood that you were far off from God. There were things in your life that you didn't allow you to come close to God, but God came close to you. On the cross that first Easter, Jesus did what he had to do so that you could have peace with God. Jesus did what he had to do so you could give your life, and he made a way so you could know God. And you've invited Jesus to come into your life, and you've chosen to follow him, and he is walking with you. And as you walk into this world, you find that you are on the adventure, that God has a way of writing a great story. My prayer for you is that you would know the great story of God. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for how you have allowed our stories to intersect with the Easter story. Lord, for whatever stage we find ourselves in the undeniable, the unbelievable, Lord, I pray that you would allow your spirit to so be drawing us to yourself. Thank you, Lord, for what you're all about. Amen. Well, thank you, listeners, for your encouraging words, and please keep us in your prayers. Keeping this program on the air continues to be a work of faith, so if you can help out, we would appreciate it. If you could send a check to Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO, or you can give by going online to goodnewsinthemorning.ca. Alan Churchill, the founding pastor of this ministry, is writing a monthly devotional. Alan is well known for his spiritual insight and the ability to communicate the truth of God. If you would like to receive this devotional, go to our website at goodnewsinthemorning.ca and sign up to start receiving it right into your email box. We know that God will bless you through this ministry. goodnewsinthemorning.ca. May you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart. And may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding joy. God bless you. We're going to leave you now with a friend of mine. Jody Cross is going to sing Giver of Life from his album, Rekindled.
Change, all that is perfect comes from you. Your wonders never cease. Not even life, not even death, nor any power in heaven or earth could separate us from your love. For you are good. And you're day. Your mercies will never fail. So great is your faithfulness. Your love is kind, your love is pure. Your love will always persevere. For every blessing comes from you. For you are good, and your mercies last a lifetime. You are good, always, always, every day. Your love is never ending, for you are good, always, always. You delight to pour your goodness down. You delight to pour your goodness down. Last a lifetime, you are good. Always, always, every day. Your love is never ending. You are good. Always, always, you are good. Yes, you are.
In the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.